GNC 496. It's Thursday, July 23rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be. Everyone, welcome to the show. Hey, this is Todd here. Got a great show lined up for you today. Of course, the show is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Did you guys notice that I screwed the intro up completely? I'm just sitting here laughing about it, but hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. You want to get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Make sure you get subscribed to the Geek News Central podcast. Do that so via iTunes or Zune Marketplace or via your favorite podcatcher on your iPhone. The RSS feed is available, of course, at geeknewscentral.com as well. Sign up for a newsletter as well. That'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The show notes contain really everything I'm going to talk about today, including listener submissions and so forth. And we want to thank all of our listeners of the show that send in comments and, of course, call into our voicemail hotline. If you want to participate basically in our end of the show programming, where we basically go through all those emails and voicemail notes, basically give us an email at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at +1 619 342 7365. And again, another really daytime recording here of Geek News Central. This is very odd. This is two in a row. It, as I said in the last show, just doesn't feel right to do the show unless it's about 9 o'clock at night here in Hawaii. But it's just a little bit after noon, and this will be the last daytime recording I do for a while. I'll be back on regular night recording schedule next week. But those of you that have been able to join the show via Ustream during the daytime, when I'm actually recording this in hours where most people are actually awake instead of asleep, I want to, of course, welcome you all to the show as well. Got a lot of stuff going on here as usual. It's just a never-ending saga of podcasting business is busy, and being the economy is what it is. You just have to keep on moving and keep stroking, and I'm pretty excited with how things are shaping up for the rest of the year. But that's going to be an interesting quarter four, I think. I think we've got a lot of surprises coming up for podcasters that are part of our community over at Raw Voice, part of the Blueberry Community Tech Podcast, and podcasternews.com. So we'll be, of course, talking to them about that here shortly as well. We're working on some multimedia stuff where we're going to be introducing some new product, demonstrations about our products and services via video. So I'm pretty excited about getting that stuff out online as well. Okay, let me talk a little bit here about some upcoming things. Hey, I've been emailing back and forth with Chris Perillo a little bit, talking with him. He, of course, is on one of our advertising campaigns right now, and he's going to be doing a live demo here in the next upcoming week or two. It's going to be a Go to Assist Express demo, and I'm sure that if any of you out there are Chris Perillo fans, you'll want to make sure you check out Chris's live show at live.prillo.com. And basically, he's going to be inviting a audience member in to actually go through a tech issue. So it should be pretty good. And I'll keep you advised on when Chris is going to be doing that. A lot of stuff going on as far as I've been working on accounting the last 2 days, getting ready to paying some podcasters out for our quarter two ad buys. We're starting to see indications that payments are going to start coming in for some of that advertising that was run in quarter two. So getting all the spreadsheet data put together to make sure we can have payments out on time. Hey, I do want to talk a little bit about something I saw on iTunes. Been playing around with my iPhone quite a little bit, been playing around with different iPhone podcasting apps. We've been really kind of getting deep and dirty into the actual you know, the system itself to kind of determine what we're going to do at Raw Voice as far as our podcast applications go. And, you know, you always look over at your own show and you look at your reviews. And recently had a listener that probably was new to the show ranting on me, essentially in the review on iTunes, talking about how dare I spend the first 12 minutes of the show just talking about whatever. Before I got in, how dare I do that? Well, for those of you that are new to the show, the first 8, 10, 12, 15 minutes can be taken up by me just talking about whatever. Family, personal stuff, stuff that's going on in the podcasting space, upcoming schedule, you name it. And then I give you a full 45 to 50 minutes of tech. So this show is a monster show. Hour and 15 minutes. We have quite literally hundreds of thousands of subscribers to the audio podcast. That's pretty cool to say that hundreds of thousands, because yes, there's more than 100,000 of you. And you guys all know the value in the content. And I hope that what we could do is if those of you that are loyal to the show and feel that the show is worthy of review, go over to iTunes and feel free to submit a review on Geek News Central. It's definitely appreciated. We definitely don't get any love from the iTunes folks. They always are. I don't know what it is. I think it's a how should I put it? I think there's a bias over there for them. You never see a lot of the great tech shows that are even on Tech Podcast in the top 10 listings that they have. It seems to be the same shows again and again and again. And I really don't understand that. I really don't, because there's a lot of shows. If you go over to techpodcast.com, there's a lot of shows over there that you know, do 100,000 plus listens. You know, and that's significant audience size, but yet don't get any link love back from the folks at Apple. Of course, I don't expect we should at this point based upon their track record. But anytime you guys can send reviews on any podcaster is good, and we appreciate any reviews that you submit. If you do submit a review, just drop me a line at geeknews@gmail.com. Let me know that you did. And you don't have to tell me what your username is or anything on iTunes. That's not required. And we'll definitely be rewarding some of the listeners that do that. And you know, basically, we're going to have a little contest and give a little prize away here in a couple of weeks. Again, it could be positive, negative, whatever you want to say. I'm not trying to influence that. But if you do submit a review, we definitely appreciate it here at Geek News Central. Okay, Blog World Expo again. Are you coming? Are you going? I'd like to see you out there. Hope you come out in October. It's going to be a great event. If you're looking for one getaway of the year in this down economy, I think Blog World Expo is a place to go, especially if you're a blogger, podcaster, new media person. This is going to be a great event, lots of great information, well worth the price of admission. They're not paying me to say that. We are going to be there. My team is going to be there in force, and we hope to see you there as well. We're behind the event 100%. We're going to be having a great, well, event. I guess I shouldn't say anything more than that. Because it's still in the planning stage, and I can't say anything more. Podcast Madness continues at podcastmadness.com. If you are listening to other tech shows that are part of our network, and you'll definitely want to go over there. And they're giving out coupon codes, which you can enter at podcastmadness.com to be in the prize pool. Essentially, be in the pool to win some cool prizes during our extravaganza that we're going to have here in the first or second week of August, something like that. So anyway, we've got to take care of a little business here. Of course, what keeps the lights on? GoDaddy.com. They're one of the longtime sponsors here at the show. You're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server. Really, GoDaddy is where it's at. It's where you want to go. It's where you want to check out for the best prices, because once you get to the checkout counter, their great prices combined with my discount codes are going to save you a pile of money. And saving money is what it's all about in this economy. Make sure that when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget me. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd will save you 10% on most orders that don't include domain names, although it will on some other types of domains sometimes will give you a discount. So that Geek 5, Todd, is good codes. ComSale will save you many money on .com domains. You can find my full list of discount promo codes at the website at geeknewscentral.com. There's a link in the second column of the website. They'll take you right to all the promo codes. You just make a concerted effort, and you'll see where you'll actually get the best savings by using one of the multiple codes that we have available. Let's talk a little bit about GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting obviously is the absolute best online meeting system. Hands down, it works flawlessly time and time again. Matter of fact, this morning I was on I got a call from a guy. We were talking about some issues that he was having. And I said, here, let me demo to you how to get this fixed. And we went up, came to a conference meeting, loaded a browser, walked through a couple of things that he was having issues with in a settings page. And we did it right over over IP. I had my Skype headset on. It was, I normally use for Skype, but I used it for this. And boom, bang, boom, we were done. We were, business was solved in a matter of minutes, where I would have probably took 45 minutes to try to walk the guy through step by step on an issue. So not only was I using the application to solve a technical support issue, but I was also, had a quick online meeting with this guy, and it just worked. So GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for your free 30-day demo, no credit required. And we definitely appreciate those of you that go out there and get those demo accounts, give the product a try, and be advocates for the application at your point of business to help your company save money. All right, let me go ahead and look at the time here. Yeah, we're doing okay. 11 minutes for the critic that's out there. Yes, I've made it almost to 12 minutes before we start content. What else is going on? I think that's about it for right now. And show 500 fast approaching, right? And we've gotten some more submissions from family. Oh, actually, Ohana, part of the listeners of the podcast, that are having tough economic times. Not being out of work does not mean that you're not having a tough economic time. There are those of you that have taken pay cuts or a reduction in hours, and you've had to cut back. And you qualify. You qualify for our show 500 giveaway, okay? So, send me an email. Tell me what your compelling reasons are that you're hurting. And what we're going to be doing, again, is we're going to be giving a cash award away to one of our listeners of the podcast. And we're also taking donations in from those of you that are financially stable right now. We're doing okay in the economy. You can submit your financial donations to add to what I'm going to be giving as a base amount to a podcast at podcastconnect.com. Again, podcast at podcastconnect.com is the PayPal address. You'll see a link to it in the show notes, of course. And we definitely appreciate any contribution that any Ohana would give towards that, in which we will redistribute back out to one of our family members in need. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here. Four short shows away. Pretty exciting. And I'm actually planning here what we're going to do on show 500. And I think we'll have a lot of fun on that podcast. I think there's going to be a lot of reminiscing and going back and looking at where we've been since October of 2004. Imagine that, October 2004, almost two a week, two shows a week since that time. Just like the mailman, have missed a few, but not that many. So look forward to marching on to show number 1,000 over the upcoming years. But thanks for all of you for hanging and being with us through show number 496. Okay, over on Ace Adulterer's website, man, this is three shows in a row where he's got some cool stuff to put out. 30 million downloads of Firefox 3.5 have happened in less than 3 weeks. I think that's a pretty impressive number. I wouldn't want to have to pay for the broadband bill on that, but 30 million downloads in 3 weeks. So that's pretty shocking. And 10 million a week. And I think that, of course, they had some software updates in there. So hopefully they accounted into that, their download numbers. But a pretty impressive number irregardless. Those of you that are U.S. Airways passengers, if you know, in other words, if you fly U.S. Airways a lot, AirCell has just announced that U.S. Airways are going to bring Wi-Fi internet access to their fleet using the GoGo in-flight service. Now, here's something that's funny. Now, let's think about this. You're on an airplane now, right? And then what are they telling you? Turn off your cell phones, put them in airplane safe mode, turn off your media players, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to be honest with you. I spent 20 plus years flying when I was in the Navy. And guess what we had? We had MP3 players that we played when we were on transit. We had cell phones in the airplane. You name it. We had everything. Did it ever mess with the navigation, the radios, or anything like that? Absolutely not. And don't you think that they would have been more worried, you know, the military would have been more worried about us flying with those types of devices than any other, you know, than the airlines would? Well, of course. They're going to run a Wi-Fi signal in the aircraft. And, you know, hypocrites. Absolute hypocrites is what they are. And that stuff doesn't bother with navigation. Doesn't bother with the GPS. Give me a break. So anyway, in-flight internet access charges on U.S. Airways will vary from $5.95 to $12.95 depending on the length of the flight. Sounds pretty reasonable to me to be connected while airborne. I'd love to have that between, you know, flights between Honolulu and the in Chicago or Denver, depending on where I'm flying on United, but not yet. But those of you that are flying U.S. Airways domestic, that will be available to you soon. And, you know, would you fly U.S. Airways over another carrier just because they have the availability of Wi-Fi or staying connected? Or is that the only time that you really are truly disconnected and you can disconnect and not worry about having to answer email? I know some people are probably dreading it. Hey, that time in that airplane is good, valuable work time. It really is. And it is limited sometimes by not having connectivity. All right, over on Engadget, how many of you are Rubik's Cube? How many of you had a Rubik's Cube when you were a kid or bought one of your kids now or still have one on your desk? Well, Rubik's is going to be introducing the Touch Cube. And the Touch Cube is basically bringing the digital age to the Rubik's Cube. And you'll be able to, you know, play the Rubik's Cube digitally. And so it's going to be available via QVC. You know, how many have actually – okay, I shouldn't laugh, but – every time I think about shopping networks, television shopping networks, I remember many, many years ago. This was probably, my daughter's 19, so it would have been probably before she was born. So 20 years ago was my first marriage. My ex-wife saw these statues on the TV that was on one of these, television shopping things. And she called me in, look at this. Isn't that great? And all, oh, those are cute. And said, I want to order them. I said, okay, go ahead. And I think she spent like $50 for them or something like that, which was quite a bit of money at the time. And UPS delivers this small box. I mean, it's like about 4 inches wide by about 2 inches deep. And of course, it's double wrapped in plastic. And when she pulled these statues out, they were about an inch tall. But on TV, they looked like they're like 6 or 9 inches tall. And ever since then, I have really been turned away from buying anything on QVC or any of those other types of networks. But if you are a Rubik's Touch Cube fan, you're going to be able to get this available via QVC. So, thought I'd share that with you. If you've had any other real television shopping nightmare stories, let me know at +1-619-342-7365. Also, those of you that are on Ustream, what do you guys think of my sign back here? What do you guys think? Do you think that's cool, or is that just a little bit overkill? And yes, we're not in show prep anymore. I need to change the titling there. So anyway, if those of you that are on the audio portion of the podcast, what I have is one of these traditional LED lights, and it's updating in the back, putting a little bit of advertising up for the show, sponsors, information, just, you know, something I'm goofing around with. But I'd like to hear you guys' feedback on the Ustream portion of it, whether you guys like the signboard or not. And those of you that are on the audio portion, just watch the video portion. I'll link to it in the show notes. You guys can check it out and let me know what you think as well. So, you know, trying to be innovative here with old school stuff. All right, Intel has announced – well, actually, Intel announced a 34-nanometer SSD drive that they're calling a Thoroughbred. This is a SSD that solid state drive that has some serious performance to it, has a lot of kick to it. The reviews so far is that it has pretty good benchmarks, and it's the reduced price is making it very attractive as well. And everyone's pretty excited about this new SSD. So I have this linked up in the show notes. If you're looking for a more high performance solid state drive, this Intel drive may be the way to go. And for the price, for an 80 gig, is $225. It's $2.81 per gig. Now that comes in pretty competitive, considering that the 160 gig drive that Intel is selling for $440 is $2.75 per gig. And then you look at all the other competitors out there, OCZ, Patriot, and comparable sizes, the cost per gig on all of those units are, looks like, pretty much higher, except maybe with the exception of one drive that's out there. It's not using a Samsung flash in it, so it's, you know, it's probably using a little bit cheaper flash component, but have this link up in the show. And it's really, I think SSD is going to be the way we're all going to be going here soon. And I'm looking forward to it. Lower heat, lower power cost, faster boot up times, a whole nine yards. All right, I think on the last show, I don't know if we talked about it or not, but there was a engineering student individual that was an engineer working for Hanhai. It's the manufacturer of most of the iPhones, iPod touches and stuff for Apple. He'd been in charge of some of the prototypes. They'd been made delivery of some prototypes, and one of those had came missing, and he'd become under major scrutiny of the company, and he ended up committing suicide. And this was, you know, basically because Apple has such a strict policy and put so many strict restrictions on these companies to keep their new product line secret. You can imagine the pressure that was put upon this individual. He was very young. He was 25 years old. And, you know, basically he became, you know, the wrath of the company came down on him for losing this. And I guess the pressure was so great that, you know, that he committed suicide after the security officials had searched his house and he'd went under intense scrutiny. Now, the security official that had actually investigated him has been suspended from Hanhai. And this brings up a topic I was actually reading on multiple websites that, you know, they were reviewing this. And it went deeper into the psychology that's happening in China right now, where parents do their very, very best to shelter their children from any types of pressures. You know, the competitive market there is very high on education. So parents do their very, very best to make sure their kids aren't distracted and don't have any, you know, really anything that causes them any stress. Now, kids in the United States, they are definitely, you know, they have stressors from day one. They're in school. They have peer pressure issues. They have, obviously, there's drugs in school. So, you know, there's things that they have to resist and deal with as young adults, where they're saying in China, this is not necessarily the case because the parents being overprotective. So they're saying that this individual maybe did not have the internal tools as a new employee from life experiences to basically understand what was going on with himself to deal with this kind of stress. I thought it was pretty amazing insight. And I don't have any more information than beyond what was being talked about on the different types of blogs and stuff. But I would love to hear from someone that has, you know, experience with Chinese workers and this type of stuff, if this is actually true, because, you know, becoming under the scrutiny for losing something is one thing, but killing yourself over it is another, you know. But this is what happened with this guy. And of course, Apple's issued a statement of regret, or, you know, of you know, basically not regret, but, you know, showing their support for the family and so forth. But it's interesting to see what's happening over there. And it's the price of, you know, maintaining secrecy here is pretty high on these products. It's too bad it really happened. But I'm sure we'll hear some more on this as time goes. And love to hear you guys' feedback on this, especially on this whole psychology situation with the Chinese students and parents being very, very protective of their kids. So we'll see what happens to this. All right, Windows 7 now has officially been released to manufacturing. And We're just a few steps away from the October 22nd release, and this is pretty cool. Some of the folks that have been beta testing are actually getting the actual release delivered to them as a basically a thank you. So they're getting the release sent to them by Microsoft, arriving via FedEx. That's pretty cool. There's a pretty cool video that involves some Microsoft employees celebrating the release of Windows 7. As you all know, I've been playing with Windows 7 here on a machine. I'm, I was never a Vista basher at all, and I enjoyed using Vista, but definitely going to be upgrading machines here to Windows 7 as soon as I get those disks in my hot little hands. Although one of my machines will stay on XP, my primary podcast recording machine, until the manufacturer gets the software that I use to record the show with, until they get that updated to make it Windows 7 capable. So I'm definitely going to make the Windows 7 plunge here as soon as I can. And, of course, I encourage all of you to. I think it's going to be a big seller, and I think it's going to go over well with the general public. You guys remember me talking? We've talked about Spot on this show a number of times. And actually interviewed them a couple of times out at the Consumer Electronics Show. Spot has introduced and refreshed a smaller satellite GPS messenger. Spot's personal GPS tracker has really made waves and caused a lot of outdoorsmen to really feel safer when they're out there. Because this device, all it does is you carry it around. And every once in a while, it will send a message. You can have it send a message out saying, hey, here's my location. I'm safe. And it does a lot of cool things. It tracks where you're at. But the best part is it's got an SOS button. If you get in trouble and you have a clear sight of the sky, in other words, you basically can see a satellite, and by pressing the SOS button, they will launch search and rescue for you to come get you. And it's a pretty exciting thing. And It is really a device, and there's several companies out that have these now. It's really a device that will life-save people. They're out camping and they're having an issue. Now, one thing I do like about this is it has a GPS acquisition light. In other words, it tells you, yes, I'm seeing the GPS. I'm seeing the satellite. So you've got a good signal. Hit the SOS or send a message, whatever it may be. And it's pretty cool. So I have this link up in the show notes. And Spot has come quite a ways. This device is much smaller than its previous versions of it. And if you're looking for more information on Spot, definitely check out search Spot on the Geek News Central website. And you'll be able to see some demos. Actually, the videos of the recordings we made at CES 2008 and at 2009. All right, big news coming out of Britain. Sky News is reporting that some computer companies have, or computer repair shops, were illegally accessing personal data from customers' hard drives and even trying to hack into their bank accounts. 9 out of the 10 companies they took their PCs to be repaired to, and which was really what was required, was a simple memory reset. They found that the techs were snooping around in places they shouldn't be. They had loaded the software up, loaded the laptops up with software that actually, in some instances, recorded the techs. It turned the camera on without turning the light on, and there's actually video now of one of the techs working on one of the PCs, and it's just amazing. It really is. So I'm telling you, when you take your – it's just human nature. People will do this no matter how well they are trained. It's just like, you know, leaving a bank door open. You know, someone that would not normally steal something may steal something if the bank door is left open. You know, same thing with computer techs. You know, they may be the best computer techs in the world, but the temptation may be too great. And, you know, so don't, if you can help it, don't take it or stay with your computer while it's being fixed if possible. Be prepared to be violated, I guess is the best word, if you're taking your PC to be fixed. And actually, one of the companies has been, I guess, of these 10, one company that, you know, was basically above board are getting high reviews. And one of the companies actually has had some licenses removed from, I guess, I don't know how Britain does their business licenses, but they've been essentially shut down. All right, how many of you have done IRC chat before? I'm sure if you're on the Ustream chat right now, you're really on IRC. That is basically, you know, chatting on here, talking about what's going on with the podcast. You definitely are, you can participate and talk about the show as the show is progressing. Well, the folks at Google are trying to rebrand IRC chat by launching this Google Wave. And really, Google Wave is nothing more than really IRC, which really is a hybrid. And there's some reviews of it, and they're going to launch this in September. So we'll see what happens with this, but it is going to be kind of curious for people that are, to how the reviews come out, because I'm expecting people to be raving about this for, you know, just, oh, that's great, the first time I've ever seen anything like this. Whereas all of us that are really old school, we know about IRC. I've known about IRC since really Telnet days. So, you know, chat's been around a long time, but Google's making a new product by relaunching a pretty interface called Google Wave. So we'll see what happens. And I'm sure I'll check it out as well, and I'm sure they will do a good job in introducing some new features that will, you know, make it worthy of a hanging out and playing around with once in a while. Okay, let's go ahead and move on here. The Large Hadron Collider restart is scheduled for November. So those of you that are concerned that the end of the world is going to happen when the Hadron Collider is restarted, you've got a few more days to delay before they get going here. And this is the second delay that's been announced. Of course, this is a repair. They had to make repairs after, I guess, something went horribly wrong during its initial turnups. Cost them a lot of money, I know that. But, of course, the November startup is going to happen right at the peak of the annual meteorite shower that happens here in the United States. So I guess if we if something goes wrong, they can blame it on a meteorite. So. And this article is up and available via Engadget. All right, over on LogicBuy at logicbuy.com, you know, when I saw the Dell Adamo, I guess that's how it's pronounced, A-D-A-M-O, it was a ultra-portable laptop, 13.4-inch. It was originally priced at $1,900. And boy, I tell you, when I was actually shopping for a laptop, I thought, man, that would be the one. But it was so expensive that I really, you know, kind of shied away from it. But they've reduced the price on this unit by $500. It's stylish. If you're, you know, if you are like the, you know, how Mac has their nice sleek design, this may be within striking distance now for all of you. It's got a pearl finish with onyx aluminum, and it really is. It looks slick now. You know, it's average kind of specs. It's got a 1.2 gigahertz Core 2 Duo in it. It's got 128 gig SSD drive, 2 gigs of RAM, 13.4-inch screen, which works out to 1366 by 768. It's a wide screen, and it has a 1.3 MP webcam. So pretty cool that this has been reduced down by $500. If you're a Dell fan, this may be, if you're in the market for a new relatively high-end laptop, this may be the place to go. All right, Apple is being reported today that on Silicon Alley Insider that Apple owns 91% of the 1,000-plus PC market. And I really got to thinking about this for a while. And, you know, I'm thinking, how could that be that they own 91% of the $1,000-plus PC market? And if you go back and you really think about your latest trip to a big box or to a computer store, what have you seen? You have seen in those stores nothing but laptops, $399, $699, $799, $899. Very rarely is there a Windows-based PC that is over $1,000. Now, if you're looking for a Core 4 machine, HP has a Core 4 machine out right now. If you're looking for a Core 4 machine, those are definitely over $1,000. They're probably $1,200. But really, that's pretty close to the top end when it gets to buying stuff in a store, in a storefront. You can go online and definitely price a machine out higher, but most Apple machines you can't get one for under $1,000. Now, I'm probably going to be blasted here. So it makes sense why they own 91% of the above $1,000 PC market. It's because their laptops are more expensive. So the average selling price of all PCs in the United States was $701, which really makes a lot of sense because if you think about that $399 to about $799 price point that we're seeing in most major stores today for a Windows machine, makes sense. Now, the average price for a Windows PC was $515. The average price of a Mac was $1,400. So big difference there. You're really paying a huge, huge, huge premium to be a Mac user. You really are. And is the supposed gains that you get from a Mac worth that extra $1,000? In my personal opinion, no. And I've got two Macs here in the house. We've got two MacBooks. Both of them are MacBook Pros. One is the first Intel version. Another one is one I bought for my wife for Christmas that she has, that she uses now. And I've got a 17-inch. She's got a 15-inch, I think. And, of course, I had an Apple, one of those minis or whatever they called it at one time. One of my kids uses that now, along with the PCs as well. But, I don't know. I don't know if that's the extra $1,000. So it shouldn't be surprising that it's they own 91% of the 1,000 plus market. They need to get their prices down. They really do. If they really want to make an impact and they really want to cut into Windows, then they need to come up with a product that's, $399 to $799. If they can, bite their pride and price it that way, they're definitely making money on these units. Don't be fooled into thinking that those devices have that much money or that much better components, because they don't. There's breakdowns that break down how much, each computer really costs to build and what the profit margin is. And the profit margin's high. Now, that being said, I am a big Final Cut fan. I use Final Cut really for all my video editing. And there's a new version of Final Cut Studio that has been announced today. I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited that I only have to pay the upgrade price of $299 because the first time when I bought Final Cut was like a grand. And that was a tough one to really to kind of swallow. But if you have a G5, don't bother upgrading, because Final Cut Pro has been designed to really work with anything that is a Intel based in the new processor. So don't go upgrading unless you have the hardware requirements to support it. There are some people complaining about that, but really, if you're doing a lot of video editing and you're using a machine that's 4 to 5 years old, maybe it's time to upgrade a machine. Now, I know that's easier said than done, but I would really love, I'll be honest with you, I'd really love to have a Mac Pro sitting underneath the desk all specced out with all the greatest stuff in it to do the upcoming 2010 Consumer Electronics Show and everything else we've got planned for the rest of the year. But that price tag, again, going back to Apple's price tag, really is one of those things that really makes you go, oh, because, to put in a new desktop version of that is not cheap, and I understand the pain people go through. All right, over on Gizmag, ladies that listen to the show, you need to listen up. My wife absolutely – Hawaii has this, like many states, has a law in effect that if you're going to talk while on the phone, mobile phone, while you're actually driving around, you have to have a hands-free device. You'll get a ticket. I think they charge $65 for the first offense. You're caught using your cell phone without a hands-free device. But over at Gizmag, there is a new headset coming out that all I can say is it's going to sell like hotcakes with the ladies. It's absolutely gorgeous. Now, guys, you're not going to be wearing this. Wear one of these. It doesn't look like something a guy would wear. It's definitely something the ladies are going to wear. It's a Bluetooth headset that is made by a company called Orb. And this thing is, I think the ladies are going to go gaga over this. And it's just styled correctly. It looks nice. And prices are around $129 for the start, up to $175. And I think you're going to – now, the sad part is you got to wait. It's not launching to January of 2010, but I bet you this is going to be a big, big seller here when it is introduced. So sorry for the bait and switch there, but I think once you see it, you'll agree with me that at least the ladies will, that this will be a product that you'll definitely want to check out. Let's talk about cell phones for just a second. If you guys were watching me on Twitter, of course, you can follow me at Twitter at Geek News. You will have saw that on, let's see here, today's Thursday. On Tuesday at about noon, I take my iPhone and I flip the little slide and I look to make a call. And it says no service. I thought, that's odd. So I restarted the phone and slipped the bar again and it said no service. And I walked outside and held it up to the sky and it said no service. And I got upset and I got thinking to myself, I've never had no service with T-Mobile before. So, you know, the gods are getting the last laugh here, right? Because, you know, here I made the switch and went to AT&T iPhone, and now, you know, 2 weeks in, I'm getting no service. So, okay, I'm thinking, all right, something else has to be going on. So I call AT&T, and actually they push me through to Apple Care support, and he says, sir, what's your area code? 808. Oh, can't help you. They're having an island-wide mobile outage in Hawaii. I said, huh? An outage? Mobile service outage? The whole island? Yes, sir. There's, you know, all of 808 area code is out. Even people that are in the mainland who have an 808 area code in their phone can't get service. And I'm like, what is going on? He says, I'll transfer you to AT&T so you can get the lowdown. So I, you know, said, okay, this ought to be fun. Because, you know, need material for the show, right? So they hooked me into AT&T, get the lady on the phone. She said, oh, yes, sir, we're having an island-wide outage. Or you know, all of the Hawaiian islands are out of AT&T service right now. Sorry, we may get your service back on by tomorrow night. Huh? Tomorrow night? It's noon. Tomorrow night? What do you mean tomorrow night? Well, make a long story short, the service was pretty spotty for about 20 hours. I actually had to drive over to the windward side of the island, and when I was over there, I had service for a little bit and was able to make calls. Now, I called AT&T and asked them for some credit, and here's the thing that's really going to just stoke you. I was completely out here where I live. So she says, oh, sir, I saw that you used your phone several times. I said, yes, because I drove on the other side of the island and they had it, but I was only over there about an hour, and the rest of the time I was out. Well, sir, sir, since you had service half the time, we can offer you a $1 credit. $1? $1? You've got to be kidding me. I'm paying, I have the unlimited plan, $129.95, and you're going to offer me a buck? You have got to, I hung up on her. I was so insulted. Oh, yeah, we'll give you a dollar. A dollar. Can you believe that? A buck. Yeah, a buck of compensation. But you use your phone twice, so you know that's why. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. All right, Seismic. You know, this is gonna be, I'm gonna have fun with you, AT&T, when you make a issue. I'm going to bash you every time I can. I am. I'm going to do what I have to do. I love the phone, hate the service. Seismic's browser client is like Gmail for Twitter. That's what they're saying on TechCrunch. And Seismic has released a desktop client developed by Loic Lamour. And I haven't played with this yet, but this, to me, looks like the thing to play with. So if you, it's a Twitter and Facebook desktop client, and it really gives you a real-time stream of what's going on in Twitter. You can follow different types of stuff. It's pretty good. I'm so far, everything I'm seeing online looks good. I haven't downloaded this yet. I guess it was officially launched some time ago, but I have not downloaded. Have any of you been playing with this? And if you have, love to hear your feedback on it. I just need to get it loaded and But definitely looks like a client that would be kind of cool for if you like watching a real-time stream on Twitter on your actual desktop in kind of a Gmail type of way. I think this is the way to go. This way I'm going to go for sure. All right, let's move over here. There's an article on Wired. I'm not even going to try to go through this. But there's been a lot of discussion about the current administration really going after Google in a big, big way, in an antitrust way. And we know that some people in the administration that are, you know, essentially in charge of some of these divisions are not Google fans. And Wired has a great article that talks about the plot to kill Google. And, I mean, it goes into, this is long, folks. This is going to take you 10 minutes to get, well, 10 or 15 minutes to get through. But it's worthy a read of the efforts by the Department of Justice to really go after Google in a number of ways. And while we all may agree that Google is getting a lot of power, you know, I really hate it. I really, really do when Uncle Sam looks to me, at least, that they're going after them for, how should I say it, in a vindictive way. This is my opinion, that there's an agenda here. And from everything I've read, as much as we may all be a little leery of some of the stuff, Google being a little bit too much big brother, it does bother me a little bit to see what the Department of Justice is doing and how that is progressing. So have it up there for you guys to read. Love to hear you guys' feedback on this. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Remember how Facebook told us that once you picked your username that was it? You had it for life? Well, looks like they've relented here, and they're quietly launching a new option in the settings area called Username, where you have the option to change your Facebook username once. So link will be up in the show notes. It makes sense because, you know, during that land rush, we were all kind of excited and probably pulled the trigger. Some of us probably pulled the trigger a little too soon on a name that maybe we decide later it wasn't so great. So you can try now to change. Available, of course, via the Facebook website. And I have the link up to this article in the show notes. Had to take a little shot here of my drink that I've got on the table. Over on cultofmac.com, it's being reported, of course, been rumored for a while that the new iPod Touch and iPods were going to have cameras built into them. So looks like the cases that some of the third-party manufacturers are coming out with have sneakily a little camera slot built into the back of them. So I have a link up to this in the show notes. So it looks like the camera is coming to the Touch. And, you know, as I said before on a previous show, this is going to be huge. It is going to give Flip and the rest of those guys a run for the money. This is going to be a game changer. You know, you're not going to be locked into having to have a contract. You can get an iPod Touch with a camera. You're going to be able to do all the things you could do with the Flip or any of those other mini cameras. The camera's good enough now in the Touch, and hopefully they'll put a real good camera in there. And I think what we're going to see here is that Google is going to start dominating this small video camera market. It just makes sense. You know, okay, what are you going to do? Your kids may be bugging you for a little mini camera. Well, why not just get them an iPod. It's got a camera on it. They can do everything they want with it. Plus, they can listen to their music. It makes sense for the kids. It makes sense for me. It really, really does. Game changer, game over to some of these other companies. They're going to have to step their game up in a big way. If they don't, you know, this is going to be this is going to revitalize the sale of iPod Touch and iPods. I'm just telling you. If you don't think it is, then I think you're living in a shell. So, because I see how cameras are being used today and what people are whipping out. And they're whipping flips out of their purses and stuff and shooting that. They're not using big, gaudy cameras anymore. You know, on vacation, you may take your video camera, but everything is small. All right, over on Spinvox, they're answering accusations made by the BBC that they're translation of their voicemail service is being done by people versus technology. And they really come out and basically slam the BBC and says, no, 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 that's not the case. Our technology is what's being used to do the translation. So we'll see. I'm sure there's going to be some more legs to this, but link will be up in the show notes on that if you're a Spinvox user. All right, let's talk just a little about AT&T earnings. 2.4 million iPhone activations in the second quarter, 37.2% increase in wireless data revenues to $3.4 billion. They continue to have strong growth in the AT&T U-verse. They've had 17% growth in wireline IP data. They still, I think, lost some money. But still, if you look at 2.4 million iPhone activations, that's just that's significant. And say what you will, they're definitely winning the war on. Apple has just gave them a gift that just won't stop giving. That's for sure. But we'll see if ever Verizon is able to get in on the act. We'll see how fast the natives leave AT&T. Over on Google Mobile at blogspot.com, they talk about the Google Mobile blog. There's lots of new features in the Google Maps mobile version. Some pretty cool stuff here. It shows you places where you can take pictures, shows you where maybe your friends are that you've made friends with within Google. Lots of other cool stuff, too. So I think some of this stuff is pretty awesome. Shows you where coffee shops are. It gives you just places to eat. They're really integrating these services for mobile phones. So, again, it's in Google Maps for mobile, for mobile version 3.2. Let's talk about Gmail for a second. Gmail has got a new feature that offers to automatically unsubscribe you from mailing list. So be careful there. You know, this is something if you're reading your email via the Gmail client and it says, hey, unsubscribe me from this mailing list. If it's one that you have subscribed to and you accidentally click unsubscribe, you'll be off that mailing list. But I think it'll be, you know, how many of you actually unsubscribe to spam mailing list? Do you ignore it? Do you just mark it as spam? Do you hope Google or your other provider will catch it? Are you afraid to unsubscribe, basically validating that your account exists, ending up on more lists? I don't see too much of that anymore. I really don't. All right, let's talk about Apple and their iPod incidents where iPods are bursting out into flames. There's a great article on KIROTV.com. where they have spent the past 7 months working very diligently through the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the CPSC, to gain access to complaints filed against Apple on iPods that have heated up, caused people to get burns, or actually burst into flames. Now, we all heard back last year where a house burned down because of a quote-unquote suspected iPod catching on fire, but I guess there's been over 800 pages of information that they received from the CPSC talking about incidents with the specifically the iPod. So if you've had an iPod that's heated up, you've got some curiosity what's going on with this, this is not good news for Apple, and I would think that at some point there would probably be a class action lawsuit by all these folks to get together and say, hey, Apple, you need to either issue a recall and fix these things or pay up. Doesn't report on what happened with the family that lost the home, whether or not they said anything or not. But if I was the family that lost a home because of any device bursting into flames, you can absolutely bet that for the first time in my life, I would contact a lawyer and file a lawsuit. All right, nothing like going for a spacewalk and having it cut short by a malfunction of the carbon diluter or whatever it was to remove the CO2 scrubber. There was a spacewalk that happened yesterday where one of the spacewalker's suits malfunctioned and he had a rising level of carbon dioxide. Not definitely, you know, nothing will kill you faster than CO2 levels getting to a point that, you know, the body cannot overcome the differential between H2O and CO2. So they obviously told him, you get to the space lock, and you get to the space lock now. And they cut the spacewalk short. So I think I would have been a little bit antsy, because nothing will kill you faster than that. And they got him back inside okay, and everything's okay. But this is the second time on this particular, on this shuttle mission that we've had space suit malfunction. So I'm sure the guys that work in the spacesuit lab back at NASA don't want to be there after two particular incidents. All right, we talked about in the last show the impact of a, it looks like something, a comet or meteorite or something striking Jupiter. A little more evidence is coming out, some more pictures on that. I'll have that link up in the show notes. A little more information coming out of some musicians getting angry as well for YouTube pulling down videos that they put up online because the British phonographic industry, which is the BPI, which is equivalent of the RIAA here, had basically said, hey, that's a copyright violation, take it down. But it turns out that this was the actual musician that created the music on which the takedown was affected upon. And he is not happy. He has made quite the statement. He has filed some complaints with the House of Lords. I don't know how that actually works. Maybe someone in the UK can fill me on how you actually file a complaint that way. Once again, these organizations are in such a hurry to get music pulled down that they are really ruining the experience of music consumption by the average person out there. Net neutrality, we talked a little bit about the FCC taking in comments. Got an article up on that, a lot of form letters going in. If you're making comments to the FCC on net neutrality, please write original letters. Don't send in something you've been sent that says, hey, here's a form letter, just send it to the FCC. Those don't get a lot of action. A little bit on the BBC talking about swine flu. And I don't know about you guys, but this kind of has went to the back burner for me. I hadn't been paying attention too much to it. My daughter had gotten the flu. She was tested for swine flu, and she was tested negative. But, we haven't heard too much. But over in England, they're considering extending the school summer holiday to limit the spread of the virus before a vaccine becomes available. And they're also considering doing school online, which I thought to be kind of an interesting move here. So, what do you guys think? Is this a viable move, or is this something that we're going to be seeing more of here in the coming weeks? Clearwire, they're starting to roll services out in a number of cities. They're starting to add more devices. You're going to see more laptops. You're going to see more little portable devices that are going to be running on their WiMAX signal. The recent one is Mondi is offering a WiMAX and Wi-Fi connectivity with a QWERTY keyboard. It's a new 4.3-inch screen. It's a mobile media device. I guess running mobile 6.0, must be a phone, but it has clear WiMAX built into it. Samsung's going to be offering some stuff, and there's some additional ones as well from Verizon, AT&T. So we'll see what happens with this as Clearwire starts rolling out their WiMAX service. Hackers are saying that the iPhone 3GS encryption is useless for business. They say with just a couple of off-the-shelf tools, they can beat the encryption. I'm kind of curious from the Ohana, do any of you have any of your businesses adopting the iPhone as a phone of choice for your companies? Is it an option? Are you still on BlackBerry? Were you guys seeing that in the business world? All of the Raw Voice team is now on iPhones. We have the entire team on iPhones. And, we're not so worried about encryption because we don't do a lot of AKA business over our phones. We do a lot of just texting and stuff. But what do you guys think? Is this causing, was this a cause for concern for businesses, or has your business actually rolled to the iPhone as an option? Jailbreaking your iPhone may push open a security hole. There's worries out there that if you have jailbroken your phone, it's been proven that you could get pushed some data that you didn't want to get pushed to it from someone trying to hack your machine and so forth. So we'll have some information on that available via the show notes tonight. A couple articles I'm going to skip here, but one that I found that I was pretty interested in is a contest that's going on in which they're going to put a solar-powered moon rover on the moon to explore the Apollo landing sites. Now, I thought this would be kind of cool. I've always wondered what those sites look like today. I think we talked about it in the last podcast. But there's a contest going on right now to put a device or a rover on the moon by 2011 that will do just that. It'll go over to these old Apollo sites and check them out. I think it'd be kind of cool. Now, not a lot of science gained by it, but definitely be kind of cool to go back and visit where we had been 40 years ago. Over on Network World, don't get too many articles from them anymore, but NetworkWorld.com is reporting America's 10 most wanted botnets and talking about how security companies are trying to track down the originators and those that are running some of the botnets that are out there. I'll have a list of those, and you can see if any of those may affect you and how they're operating. I have that up in the show notes for you. If you live in Australia, don't be surprised if the police come knock on your door and tell you to lock down your Wi-Fi. I guess it's illegal for you to have your Wi-Fi connection open in Australia. If one of our Australian listeners could send us a voicemail or an email on that, I'd love to hear what your thoughts on this. But the cops are driving around and actually finding open connections. They're going up and telling people to lock their ports down. I don't know if they're giving them a ticket or anything, but I thought that was pretty curious. And I have to laugh because in the mail today, let me see if I can find it. Where did I put it? Oh, it's on the ground. I got this email. Not an email. A solicitation for a Visa Black Card. Now, I've even heard this thing advertised on TV. Oh, it's the most exclusive Visa card out there. Only 1% of the population is offered one. And I open this thing up, and it comes in a very nice envelope. I mean, top grade paper, open everything up. It's really, really nice laid out, nice clean application. And then I look over in the corner, $495 a year for the privilege of having this black Visa card. Huh? I got a Visa card that's black by a bank, and it doesn't say Visa Black on it, but why would I go get this fancy Visa Black thing? The prestige of whipping it out. Who cares? Right? For $495? No thank you. No thank you at all. As well, his interest rate was like 13.6 or something like that. I'm like, come on. No thank you. But TechDirt has an article about it today. And I actually saw in the literature, it says patent pending for our unique card. It has carbon fibers in it. You know how hard it is to put carbon fibers into plastic? Not very hard. Why do I care if there's a patent pending for a card that I'm going to have in my wallet that's going to get destroyed after a month of use anyway? Why would I pay $500 for an annual fee for this? For the prestige? What a marketing gimmick. 1%. I am definitely not in the 1% of wage earners in this country. Why would I get the stupid thing? Unbelievable. Okay, ASUS is using BitTorrent to distribute file updates and so forth, which I find to be pretty amazing. So here's a good utilization of BitTorrent. Nice to see that they're doing that. And PC World has a pretty cool list of a wish list of new features for Gmail. I'm not going to go through those for the lack of really of time here. But I think the last article I should finish on tonight is one by Wired Science over at Wired.com talking about the X-ray telescope's first 10 years of awesome images. This is in regards to the Chandra X-ray Observatory that was launched aboard the Space Shuttle Columbia 10 years ago. And they've got some pictures up on the NASA website. So pretty cool images. Anyway, I didn't realize it's been 10 years since that has been in operation. Pretty cool. Okay, we're at the end of the regular content tonight. Let me go ahead. And I have no voicemails tonight, but I do have some email. Let me go ahead and get that loaded here while I'm jibber-jabbering a little bit. If you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline is +1 619 342 7365. Jay, I have your entry for the family in need for our 500th show. Thank you for that. Got an email from Bob. He says, "Hey, Todd, I've been using a Canon HV30 HDV camera at work, and it's been great. According to some people in the business, I understand it is often used as a clamp-up camera for pro television shooting. You can buy on refurbished for about $500. You won't believe the quality. Bob." Hey, Bob, thanks for providing me info on that. I'll definitely be checking that out. Got an email from Suzanne. She said, "Hey, Todd, we just posted an article, 100 Ivy League Open Courses for Technology Geeks. I thought I'd bring it to your attention in case you thought your listeners would find it interesting. Either way, thanks for your time. Cheers." Now, she's a PR gal, but I have definitely checked this out, and there's a pretty cool list of open courses that you can get online from some Ivy League schools. That if you're looking to advance your, you know, your education a little bit, this is a great way to do it free. I got an email from Keith. He says, I'm actually waiting for the email to load here. I don't know why this one's loading so slow. Why is Gmail doing that? Okay. Oh, I know. You put a bunch of graphics in. Todd, I would not purchase a Kindle after reading the following. When you purchase a books at Barnes & Noble, they do not come to your location and shred it at will when they feel like it, Keith. And basically, it talks about the controversy over the weekend where there was a book that was removed from people that own a Kindle, specific book. And it basically was at the request of the author. There's a lot of explanation that goes into it. Amazon has said they will not do this ever again in the future. This is a one-time good deal. For the specific author in question, and they made massive apologies. You know, as long as they compensate me and explain what's going on, we live in a digital age. We got to understand that some people in the digital age really don't get it. Authors, old fogies, you name it. So we kind of have to expect some of this kind of stuff. I still am a big Amazon Kindle fan. I really am. Travel with it. It's what I read. I have all my books that I buy now are on Amazon Kindle. I doubt very likely that I will go back to hard copies or paperbacks. You know, it just adds more clutter in the house, and I like it on digital. It's just kind of the way it is. I'm not going to, you know, blast Amazon too much over that. And they did have some controversy, but I think they give a pretty good explanation about it. Got an email from John. "Hey, Todd, love your show. Just wanted to see what your thought is about Ron Paul's bill, House Resolution 1207, which require the GAO, which is the Government Accountability Office, to audit the Federal Reserve Bank." Well, John, first of all, I think the GAO would probably have to hire about 500 people to do that, because I don't think they could very easily go into the Federal Reserve and audit them easily. I think that is I'd love to see it. I would, but I think it would be a can of worms that would be unbelievable. Going on to his comments, says, for the most part, the mainstream media seems to be ignoring this, but it has caught on fire online. Do you think that is a sign of how politics and the media in general is changing? It seems that the whole Google Ron Paul campaign last year got people looking outside of the box that is television when it comes to politics. I don't know, John. I don't know if people are actually looking outside the box or if they're just continuing to buy in on the mainstream media. I had heard about this before, haven't definitely heard nothing about it on TV for sure. Maybe I've heard about it on one particular network, but, you know, I don't know if we can trust any network these days. And, you know, some of the stuff that's online is twisted as well. I think we all have to go through and do as much research as we can on our own from multiple sources to try to kind of weed out the truth on anything these days. Definitely these people that are on TV have opinions, and it's, you know, I get infuriated when I see comments made by some people. I'm like, leave your opinion out of it. You're supposed to be a reporter. You're supposed to give both sides, but it definitely, I don't see it. I really, really don't. This show is my opinion. Is my opinion completely on what I'm saying. You are more than welcome to go out and dispute, render different types of ideas, and provide me feedback on this show. This is what this is all about. I don't claim to be impartial. I have an opinion. May it be right or wrong. And but that's where you guys send me feedback via email or call on the voicemail hotline saying, Todd, you were wrong about this, or I agree, or, you know, whatever it may be. But, John, absolutely. Let's go over there and let's tear them up. Let's look at their books. The Federal Reserve, you know, people really don't understand the Federal Reserve at all. And I hardly do. And I think you need a PhD in economics to fully understand the power that the Federal Reserve has. Got an email from Henry here. And for some reason, email is loading awful slow. And I don't know why. Aloha, Todd. I read your post on the Amazon Kindle book deletion issue along with others. I think that was made by one of our posters, Henry. I think it is far more serious issue than everyone realizes. This link sums up my fears very well. It makes me not want a Kindle or on any smartphone. And it's an article that's over on Slate. So, Henry, I'll put your link up in the show notes. Got an email from Henry on the epic fail in Hawaii. Hi, Todd. Me thinks it's more the vast fault of AT&T rather than Apple for the crappy service. And this is in response to my blog post where I said it's Apple's fault. And I'm still standing by that. It's Apple's fault that they have not been able to hold AT&T to a higher standard to get their act together to make sure their network can handle the iPhones going into the marketplace. It is ultimately Apple's fault. It's their product. It's their decision to make a exclusive deal with them. Edward goes on to say, analogy, if you bought a new BMW M Series sedan, don't blame BMW if Oahu is giving you potholed roads and describing the roads as otherwise. Instead, I suggest you add your voice and your podcast reach for a positive campaign to hold AT&T's feet to the fire and get up to speed with their advertised wireless program. Just my 2 cents worth. Keep up the good work. Eddie sent for my iPhone. Eddie, I agree. I'm going to hold their feet to the fire as much as I can within this show, and I hope you all do too, via your blogs and via your own voice. But I really think Apple has to make the realization that AT&T cannot sustain the growth of this product into the marketplace without bringing on another company and make these companies compete against each other for service quality and usability. It is Apple's fault for not being able to make a wise decision early enough to be on a network that can handle this type of growth. Now, Verizon may have the same issue, but at this point, we'll never know for sure. All right. Let me look at the – I got an email from Barry. He said, hey, I thought you'd like to see this. For your information, my office is 2 blocks from the White House. This is measuring 3G speed. He got a download of 774 kilobits, and an average of 104 with his Model 3G. And he thought it would be faster. He actually replied to me and said that his home results were much better, but that's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing speeds any further than that. Got an email from Kevin. It's kind of interesting here. I don't know if this was from an actual Kevin. I'm looking at the email, though, because this is be easy on Kevin Rose. After all, he was on vacation in China, basically strictly control internet, plus also part of his vacation was a detour in more disconnected areas. Know the facts before you judge. Well, Kevin has come out and said the new changes are going to stay. So there's my judgment on Kevin. He didn't change nothing when he came back. These are the new changes. The dig bar is not going to change. From here forward, it is how the operation is going to be. Complete sham, complete malarkey on Dig's part. I'm part of the audience that says Dig has done very wrong here in doing what they're doing. All they're trying to do is bring more traffic to their personal website. So, you know, while I will continue to read Dig, I will very rarely give them any credit. Because, you know, the audience does all this, but, you know, them trying to keep people within the fold without letting them go out and see where the original article come from was wrong. I got an email from Yitz. Hey, Todd, I think there's an iPhone app for a scientific calculator. Yeah, I've got one of those on there, my iPhone, Yitz, but the buttons are so small, it's almost impossible to use. And I got an email back from Bo, who's in Stockholm. He said, hey, my mobile test was from the bar. It was with a phone network, not Wi-Fi. I used a Huawei E270 USB modem. So, wow, that was amazing, Bo, that was just on the phone network. You guys, wow, amazing. Okay, got a couple more here, some links from John. I got an email from Tom as well. He says, Todd, on the last show, you asked people if they were using a web-based email, if they're still using an email client. I'm using Windows Live Mail with IMAP to my Gmail account. I love having access to the Gmail offline, just as you do. I feel more comfortable working with an email client than web-based applications. I used to use Thunderbird. I really love Windows Live Mail. You may want to give that a try. It's one of the great perks to Windows Vista. I love the show and been a listener for several years now. Keep up the good work, Thomas. I'll definitely have to check that out. I haven't done that before. And I think that's it, folks. That's what we got for content today, right on time, hour 14 minutes. Hey, thanks, everybody, for hanging with me. It's been fun. It's been fun to do the day shows. Those of you on Ustream, thanks for coming out and hanging out. I'll be hanging out here for a little bit longer if you guys want to chat in the chat. And for those of you that are listening to the podcast, whether it be morning, night, or evening, thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for being part of the family. Don't forget to give me a little love if you feel like you can over on the iTunes store in the review section for Geek News Central. It is greatly appreciated if you do so. And definitely send me a link back and we'll put you in a pool for a little giveaway we'll have. It's nothing going to be too big, but just kind of a little thank you gift back to a couple of the people that submit reviews over there. Again, put what you feel. It doesn't have to be positive, negative. I can take the criticism, but it is greatly appreciated when you guys do that. As always, it's been my pleasure to bring you the show. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. For those of you that are on Ustream, we'll be coming to you at 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which is 11 o'clock in the evening Pacific, or 2 o'clock in the morning on Eastern Standard Time, or sometime in the very early morning hours in the UK, and I think late in the afternoon for those of you in Australia. So it's been fun. Thanks for hanging out. Geeknews@gmail.com. Tell the people about the show. We appreciate your support. Take care to all the Hana out there. Thanks and aloha.